بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلوات الله البر الرحيم والملائكة المقربين على سيدنا محمد أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've already started talking about the prohibited selling. And we mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. And al-bay' is defined with a definite article, al-bay', as an indication that there is a specific bay', selling, that is lawful. Not every transaction is considered as a lawful selling. Rather, the proper selling and the valid one and the lawful one is the one that satisfies the conditions and the integrals of selling. We gave many examples about the prohibited selling, and tonight, inshallah, we'll continue giving more examples. The scholars of Islam said that among the prohibited selling is selling the unknown. Among the conditions for the validity of selling is that the merchandise and its price are known. What you are buying has to be known. The price has to be known as well. One example, for instance, if you go to a car yard and the owner of the car yard says to you, I now sell you one of my cars for that price. This is an invalid selling because he did not specify a specific car. Which one out of the old cars he's talking about? That's unknown. So if he says for you, for instance, I now sell you one of these two cars, it is still considered as invalid selling, even if the two cars are very similar. Let us say he bought them from the company. They are brand new cars, same color, same specifications. But without specifying which one of them he's talking about when making the transaction with you, is Islamically invalid. So he cannot say, I now sell you one of these two cars for that price. This is one example about the invalid selling. Also, another example, for instance, and it happens that you go to a big store, for instance, and you make the transaction with the owner of the store that you buy off him 20 boxes out of the hundreds he got, for instance. This is considered as an invalid selling. Even if also all boxes have the same weight, same specifications, because he did not specify which 10 or 20 boxes he's buying. This is also invalid transaction. Also another example If a person says to another person, I now sell you this horse for $2,000 or $2,500, depending on the market value. So also he did not specify whether it is sold for $2,000 or $2,500. This is considered as an invalid selling as well. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an bay'atayn fi bay'a. Naha an bay'atayn fi bay'a. And that means you make two transactions in one contract. Two transactions in one contract, two sellings in one contract, that is invalid. You might go to a person to buy, let us say, a fridge. He might say to you, I sell this fridge for you, if you want to pay cash, for, let us say, $400. If you want it on repayments for 6 months, I sell it for you for $600. You pay me at the beginning of each month $100, for instance. So for 6 months, it's $600. If you want to pay cash, you buy it for $400. Now, Islamically, both contracts are valid. You are allowed to buy cash for $400, and you can buy it for installments and repayments for 6 months. You pay each month $100, for instance, although the price is higher because of the time, the period of time he's giving you, he's making it more. Instead of $400, $600. This is valid as well, as long as there is no condition that says, if you don't pay on that date, then you're going to be charged interest. This condition is invalid. So if he puts a condition that if you don't pay on time each month, for each late day, you're going to be charged interest, this is haram and this is invalid. But as long as he did not talk about charging any interest, he told you, I agree to sell it to you for $600. You pay me at the beginning of each month, starting from next month, let us say, $100. This is valid. Now, the first one is valid, cash for $400. The one for installments for 6 months, $600 you're paying in the end, is also valid. So you can either make the contract based on the first agreement, cash, or the second agreement, based on installments. It's up to you. But if he says to you, I sell it to you for $400 cash and $600 installments for 6 months, and you say, I now buy it of you for that price. When you say, I now buy it of you, and in this case, you did not specify which type of agreement, based on which type of agreement you purchased that merchandise. Islamically, you are considered as conducting two transactions in one contract. And this is the meaning of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, naha an bay'atayni fi bay'a. Naha an bay'atayni fi bay'a. So two transactions in one contract. This is invalid. So you can either say to him, I'll buy it cash. I'll pay you cash, pay $400, I'll take it. That's fine. You might say, I want to buy it for installments, 6 months, for a period of time of six months. I pay you at the beginning of each month $100, for instance. So I pay $600 at the end of the term. That's fine. You agree on this one or that one, that's fine. But to make two transactions in one contract, this is invalid. So we're talking about the unknown. The unknown is One is not allowed to sell the unknown, and that is called al-majhul. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade us from making any transaction based on the unknown, if the price is unknown or the merchandise itself is unknown. This is Islamically invalid. Also among the forbidden and prohibited selling is to sell the najas, filthy materials, such as blood. Any najas, filthy materials, such as blood, pig, dog, urine, for instance, one is not allowed to sell. They have, in some countries, what is called the blood bank, where if a person needs blood, A positive, they might go to that blood bank and they pay money to take an amount of blood. So in exchange for an amount of blood, they pay money. They are buying blood, and blood is najis. There is no way for such a transaction to be lawful Islamically. One is not allowed to pay money to purchase blood of humans or blood of animals. One is not allowed to purchase that blood. What about if a person is in need to that blood? He has one of his relatives who is sick, he needs an operation, and they need that type of blood, and he couldn't find anyone to donate blood for his relative. So he had to go to that so-called blood bank to purchase blood. In that case, he might get the blood without purchasing. How without purchasing? He would give money as donation to that person. He would say to him, I donate the money to you, and you donate the blood to me. So as donation, that type of transaction would be valid. But purchasing, selling and buying, you're talking about blood, which is najis, filthy, there is no way for that to be lawful. Also, dogs cannot be sold. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith forbade us from buying and selling dogs, because the dog is najis and it cannot be sold. Also, pig cannot be sold. Even if you are selling pigs for non-Muslims, you are not allowed to sell pigs. Even the meat of the pig, not for human beings. Let us say for your cat. You might go to some shops, you want to buy cat foods that are in cans, and they include meat that is extracted from an animal such as pigs, for instance. You cannot buy it. You cannot pay money in exchange for that can that is filled with pig meat. You are not allowed to do this. Even if the meat is non-halal meat, you are not allowed to buy it or sell it. And that's mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we are going to talk about. Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ حَرَّمَ بَيْعَ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْتَةِ وَلَحْمِ الْخِنْزِيرِ وَالْأَصْنَامِ. Now listen to this hadith. The Prophet said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, Allah and His Messenger, made it forbidden to sell alcohol, khamr, وَالْمَيْتَةِ, the animal that was not killed properly, that means it's not an edible animal, or it is an edible animal but it wasn't slaughtered according to the Islamic way. You are not allowed to sell its meat. وَلَحْمِ الْخِنْزِيرِ, the pig meat. وَالْأَصْنَامِ, the idols. After the Prophet mentioned this hadith, the Sahaba said to the Prophet, O Messenger of Allah, see the animal fat of dead animals that weren't slaughtered according to the Islamic way, or they were not edible animals. The fat that they extract from the dead animals. See the animal fat. We buy them for other than eating and consuming. We buy them for using them as waterproof for small boats that they used to have. They use them as waterproofing for the boats. And also, they put them on the pieces of leather, makes it stronger. And also, they use them as fuel for the lantern. Instead of oil, they use animal fat. They put them and they can light on the lantern, and the fuel is the animal fat. So the Sahaba of the Prophet are asking the Prophet about what? About purchasing animal fat. Not to eat them, not to eat the animal fat, rather to use the animal fat as fuel, or to apply the animal fat to the ships. They make it as protection and waterproofing. And also, they paint the leather with them. So for these three reasons, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered, it is still forbidden. Why? Because it's najis. So the najis, filthy material, cannot be purchased. Any najis, filthy material cannot be purchased. Even if you say, yeah, but I don't want to eat them. You go to the supermarket, for instance, to buy cat food or any other canned food that contains animal fat. You are not allowed to purchase them. Even if you are not going to eat them for yourself, but still it is haram, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Also, the alcohol that is used as a fuel for lantern, they use them in our country. They use alcohol to light up special lantern in our country. So they buy barrels of alcohol, not for drinking. And that alcohol they use is the essence of alcohol. And they use it in hospitals. They put it on the wound and they say it purifies your wound. In fact, it makes your wound filthy najis. So if you have that spit on your hand and you want to pray, your prayer is invalid. You have to wash your hand. Now, this alcohol that they use in hospitals for wounds is the essence of alcohol. That's why some people who are used to drink alcohol, if they are in hospitals, they can't find wine or beer or any type of alcohol, they would drink the alcohol in the hospital. They would drink it. Because this is the essence of alcohol. And that makes them intoxicated. And this is forbidden. So even if they want to buy the alcohol for other than drinking, they are not allowed to pay money in exchange for the najis, filthy thing. But as I said, if you want to get something that is forbidden to purchase, you might get it in other than the way of purchasing. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade us from selling and buying every intoxicant, and the substance that is considered intoxicating in Islam is a substance that changes the mind, causing intoxication and ecstasy. And this is forbidden. And the judgment applies whether it is made of grapes, like wine, or barley, like the bee, or dates, or honey, or any other material. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to put dates in water, and he used to drink from that water. So it makes the water sweet, as if it's like juice. But after a few days, he used to stop drinking from that water, fearing that it might have changed into intoxicating state. So he used to leave it aside. If you put honey in water, or if you put apple in water, barley in water, leave them for a while, they start boiling. But not boiling as of the effect of heat, 100 degrees, no. They start giving like a foam, and you can hear a sound of that juice, you can hear the sound as if it's boiling. You know that it is a state of intoxication. That what we call in Arabic al-khamr. At that moment, it's called khamr. If you drink from it, you become intoxicated. It causes intoxication to the person. So you stay away from it. If you leave it, after a while, it settles down. That juice you made settles down, and the taste changes into a sour taste. That's what we call vinegar. At that time, you can drink it. So before it reaches that state, you can drink it. When it turns into vinegar, you can drink it. But when it is in the state of the alcoholic state, intoxicating state, you are not allowed to drink it. Abdullah ibn Umar, the great companion, used to say, stay away from every juice that is causing that boiling sound. Stay away from it. When it gives that sound, stay away from it, because that is the state of intoxication. You are not allowed to drink it. Those who drink alcohol love that type of juice. When it is intoxicating, they drink it. When it is in that state, the alcoholic state. And that is the forbidden thing. Why? Because it causes intoxication. One would lose his consciousness. He won't realize what he's doing. And he might leave out the prayer. He might say ugly words. And some of them become very generous when they are drunk. They become very generous. They start giving their money away. They give their money away to people. But when they wake up, they bite their fingers out of regret. They give their money to people when they are drunk. So a person wouldn't be wise when he is drunk. That's why none of the prophets, from Adam till Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, drank alcohol. None of the prophets encouraged his people to drink alcohol. This is not true. Now, some people say, well, a'yazu billah, and this is a fabrication. They say Prophet Jesus alayhi salam said, a bit of alcohol makes the heart happy. The Prophet Isa didn't say this. Probably, Prophet Isa said, a bit of alcohol would make your heart sick. Just a bit of alcohol. But they changed it and distorted the saying of Prophet Isa alayhi salam into what they claiming, that a bit of alcohol would make the heart happy. And this is not true. It is a fabrication. about Prophet Isa alayhi salam. So none of the prophets drank alcohol. Now what about the alcohol in this Sharia? It is forbidden. And there are explicit verses in the Quran that show it is haram to drink alcohol. In the hadith of the Prophet, Bukhari, Muslim and others, there are lots of ahadith that clearly show that one is not allowed to drink alcohol. Because some people these days might say, no, Islam did not forbid one from drinking alcohol. This is not true. Now what happened, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not tell the companions that it is forbidden to drink alcohol in one hit. For a wisdom, Allah revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam the prohibition of drinking alcohol gradually, stage after another, in three stages. Because people in Medina used to drink alcohol as we drink water. They used to have big jars, they fill it with alcohol, and they used to drink alcohol instead of water. So if he were to tell them that it is forbidden in one hit, some of them might leave Islam. For that wisdom, it was revealed to the Prophet gradually that it is forbidden to drink alcohol. Umar radiallahu anhu, who had a sense of understanding, and he used to mention something to the Prophet in some occasions, then after a while, it was revealed to the Prophet exactly as Umar mentioned that to the Prophet. Exactly. He agreed with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many occasions. He didn't like people drinking alcohol. So he raised his hands and said, "Oh Allah, reveal to your Prophet something about alcohol that would be a clear evidence for people that it is forbidden." Allah revealed the first ayah about al-khamr in Surah Al-Baqarah. The ayah says, they ask you about al-khamr, drinking alcohol, and al-maisir, gambling. Tell them there are benefits and harms in them, but the harms are more than the benefit. So the harm in drinking alcohol is more than the benefit. There is a benefit, but the harm is more. Umar knew from this verse that it makes people think about drinking alcohol. Some might start cutting off drinking alcohol, but it's not a clear evidence or explicit verse that drinking alcohol is forbidden. So he raised his hands again and said, "Oh Allah, I ask you to reveal to your Prophet something about alcohol that would be a clear evidence that it is forbidden." Then Allah revealed another verse in Surah An-Nisa. And the ayah orders Muslim not to drink alcohol straight before praying, so they can realize what they are saying. So this ayah as well orders Muslim not to drink alcohol straight before praying, so they can realize what they say. But it doesn't, in general, forbid people from drinking alcohol. Umar radiallahu anhu raised his hands again and asked Allah to reveal to his Prophet something about drinking alcohol that would be clear evidence that it is forbidden. Then Allah revealed to Prophet Muhammad the third verse about al-khamr in Surah Al-Ma'idah. And this ayah tells Muslims that drinking alcohol and gambling are among the acts of the devils that Muslims should stay away from. Then in the end of the ayah, Allah threatens those who do not abide by this verse with a severe torture in the hereafter. When that ayah was revealed to the Prophet, that threatens those who drink alcohol with a severe torture in the hereafter, Umar became very happy. And he said, "Intahayna, intahayna." Because the end of the ayah says, "Fahal antum muntahun," which is considered as a very strong warning and strong threat to those who drink alcohol. Like, for instance, you warn someone against doing something, then you say in the end, "Are you gonna stop doing it?" So you give him a very hard warning and very hard threatening. So when Allah said, "Fahal antum muntahun," Umar said, "Intahayna, intahayna." We've stopped. So no more drinking alcohol. All the Sahaba in Medina understood that from the verse that there is a severe torture for those who drink alcohol. They started pouring the alcohol in the streets. Everyone started bringing the jars from his house outside, and he poured the khamr, alcohol, in the streets until the streets of Medina flooded out with alcohol. Just to give you an idea to what extent they used to drink alcohol. So for that wisdom, the prohibition of drinking alcohol was revealed to the Prophet gradually, stage after stage, for that wisdom. But after this ayah, that's it. Everyone knew that it is forbidden. Also, among the forbidden sellings is to sell unlawful articles such as the loot and what is similar. The loot is very famous in the Arab world. It's a musical instrument. It's very wide. Then it has strings. They play it by strumming on the strings. This is called the lute. Now, there is another musical instrument known as at-tumbur, which is very similar. They also strum its strings when they want to play music. And this is as well forbidden. So it's haram to sell any musical instrument, such as the flute, such as the lute, such as the saxophone, for instance, such as what is known as kuba, or in Arabic we call derbaki. In the slang, they call it derbaki, which is wide from the bottom, narrow from the middle, then wide again. So it's like a drum, but it's not that round a drum. The round drum is permissible. It's it has that cylindrical shape, the normal drum, that's allowed. But the one that they make, they design it to be narrow in the middle, this is forbidden. That causes enchantment, and this is forbidden. Any musical instrument that causes enchantment when played is considered Islamically as forbidden. So we're talking about the flute, the lute, for instance. We're talking about the piano. Any instrument that is based on wind or strings is considered as forbidden. So that is based on strings and wind. It is considered as forbidden. But not the normal horn. See that horn? For instance, a shepherd might use it when he's grazing the animals. That normal horn is permissible. But now they have a type like that big horn, they call it a saxophone now. And this is forbidden Islamically. It causes enchantment and it is classified as a forbidden musical instrument. The dice, for instance. Playing dice is forbidden. You cannot sell a dice. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever plays with a dice as if he dipped his hand in the flesh and the blood of a pig. the one who plays with the dice, as if he dipped his hand in the flesh and the blood of a pig. That shows that it is forbidden. There is another narration that says, whoever plays with the dice, let him know that he disobeyed Allah and His Messenger. So it's haram to play with the dice. Any game that is based on rolling the dice, such as snakes and ladders, even for fun, even kids are playing together with that dice, Monopoly for instance, they use the dice, that is a forbidden way of playing with the dice. But for instance, if you are using the dice for other than such games that rely on dice in guessing and the chance, you're using the dice as a stone for the chess. You know, instead of the small soldier, that stone, you might use it as a stone for the chess, because playing chess is not forbidden in Islam. Chess relies fully on smartness, intelligence. So you have to be smart to play that game. So it's not like you throw a dice, you get the number three, then they move the stone. No, you have to think which one to move. So it relies on intelligence, not chance and guessing. But the games that rely on guessing and chance are forbidden. Even if they play them with dice, or they play them with the shells, what is called bargis in our country. Bargis, they bring shells and they have like head and tail, same. And they play with them, that's forbidden as well. So if they get, for instance, the cavity is up, they don't count this. And when it is blocked from the top of the shell, they count this as one. So they throw them, same as dice. If they have one, like the closed side is facing up, that's one, or two of them, or three, whatever, they move the stones. This is forbidden. Same as they play with the marbles based on guessing. So for instance, you need to guess if the number is even or odd. If you have a right guess, you win. If you give a false guess, you lose. This is Islamically forbidden as well. There are some games now, many kids play with, and they rely also on chance. They play with some cards for football players, or maybe for other cards, they use other cards, but they make a game where they rely on, they try, and they don't know whether they're going to win or lose. And for if they have that particular one, they win, and so on. They are based on chance and guessing. This is forbidden. Dominoes, for instance, is forbidden. They have to mix the stones. Then you have to choose some of them. You don't know what you're going to get. That's forbidden. Playing cards is forbidden because it relies on chance. Depends on what you get. And based on his chance and guessing, he might win and he might lose. This is Islamically forbidden. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us an example in the Quran that gambling is among the acts of the devils. So one is not allowed to gamble. And you know what happens in gambling? Some people might sell their children. Some people might sell everything they own. They leave their wives and children without money. They do not support them with the nafaqa because they lost their money in gambling. It's a very, very awful disease that is widespread in many communities, unfortunately. So one has to stay away from these acts that are among the acts of the devils. So even if you are not putting money as a bet. So if you lose, you lose your money. If you win, you win the money of your opponent, for instance. It is still considered as forbidden. Some people might say, yeah, we're just playing out of amusement. It is still forbidden. Because this will lead you to put money, to gamble. So that's the beginning of it. And that's haram. Islam cut the way short from the beginning. That way is cut short from the beginning. You are not allowed to select that way. So even if you are playing out of amusement, play with the playing cards, it is still forbidden. And tell me of anyone playing cards with other people and his situation religiously became better. Many of those who play with the playing cards, they stop praying. They commit kufr when they lose, some of them. They have big fight with relatives and friends because of what they call a soul loser. When he loses, he becomes frustrated and he starts having a big fight. So that's why these are forbidden Islamically. And even if you say, yeah, but I'm just playing friendly with my friends. Yeah, it starts maybe as friendly. It ends up with a big fight. That's why it is forbidden. Also, to sell what is lawful, halal, and pure, tahir article, to whom one knows will disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with it. Like, for instance, to sell grapes to the one that you know he's going to make wine out of it. You are not allowed to sell him the grapes if you know he's going to make wine out of the grapes. You are not allowed to sell the grapes for him. Knowing that, you can sell grapes, usually. But to sell the grapes for the one that you know for sure he is going to make wine out of it, you are not allowed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man habasa al-'inab ayyam al-qitaf liyabi'ahu mimman yattakhidhuhu khamran faqad taqahhama an-nar 'ala basira." Meaning that whoever holds grapes to sell them to the one who will make wine out of them later on is stepping knowingly into hellfire. That means he's throwing himself by his acts, by his deeds, into hellfire. So it's haram. If you know that this person is going to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that halal and pure thing you are sending him. If you know he's going to use them in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's haram upon you to sell it to that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Do not help one another in committing sins. So if you commit this sin yourself, it's going to be registered for you as one of your sins. If you help someone else committing a sin, that person commits a sin and you commit a sin as well, because you helped him committing that sin. You facilitated for him the way to commit that sin. If you engage in any of the works that lead to committing a sin, you are considered Islamically as sinful. Do not say, I don't want to lose my job. You don't want to consume a haram thing. Because if you agree with them to sell the non-halal thing from the beginning, you are not allowed to take the money that they give you. So the wages you take is haram. If you buy food with them, it's haram. You are consuming haram food. And that haram food is going inside your stomach. Then when you pray with that haram food in your stomach, you won't be rewarded with a single reward. If you make supplication, the supplication won't be answered and fulfilled because you are nurturing your body with what? With haram. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every body that gets nurtured from haram, then hellfire is waiting for him. And he deserves to be burnt in hellfire because of this. That's why, brothers, you have to keep in your mind not to work in for any person if you know that a haram thing is involved. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will substitute you with a better job, insha'Allah azza wa jal. It was narrated that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, the first caliph, he used to be a very God-fearing person. One day he sent his servant to bring some food to him. He was very hungry. He went, then he came back with some food in his hands. Then Abu Bakr put one bite, just he chewed one bite and swallowed it. Then that servant said to him, you didn't ask me from where did I get the food. He said, I was very hungry. Usually he asks him before he eats. He wants to make sure it is from halal source. But this time he was very hungry. He didn't ask him. That servant said to him, you didn't ask me from where did I get this food. He said, from where did you get it? He mentioned to him that during the era of ignorance, he passed by people and he pretended to know about saying like words for people like protection, recitation or something like this. And they promised him with something like as a reward for what he did. So at that time, of course, he did recite Quran. That was during the era of ignorance. But he deceived them. Now he passed by them and they had a type of feast. So they gave him from that food they had as a reward and repayment for what he did for them during the era of ignorance. So from non-halal source. And he brought that food to Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr started putting his finger in his mouth, trying to vomit, inducing himself, forcing himself to vomit that bite that he chewed and that he swallowed into his stomach. He couldn't. They said to him, you won't be able to take it out in that way without water. They gave him a jar of water. He started drinking water, then forcing himself to vomit to bring it out. He tried and tried and tried until he was able to get it out. They said to Abu Bakr, you were about to kill yourself for that bite. Then he said to them, I swear to God, if it came out with my soul, I would have taken it out. To that extent. Then he mentioned to them that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that the body that gets nurtured by from haram, then it's more deserving to be burnt in hellfire. For that purpose, for that reason, he was trying not to leave that haram thing in his stomach. He wasn't Islamically obligated to force himself to vomit, to take it out, but out of his extreme fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was trying to take it out. Where do you find people these days who would think about halal and haram in that way? Who are very cautious not to consume any haram food, for instance. The Prophet said, a day will come when people take money without asking, without caring, without giving any attention and concern whether they get the money from halal or haram. And this is the time. This is the time we are in today. People just want to get to take money. They don't care about whether it is halal or haram. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who are very cautious in their acts and those who make sure that they only consume the halal. We ask Allah to increase our knowledge about Islam, to make us God-fearing and pious people. Ameen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.